Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verse 14 through 17 this afternoon. Would you stand with me, and we'll just read. I'll read them, and then you just stand with me out, and we read. I'll read them out loud, and you read them to yourself. Okay, John again. I'm kind of a year behind. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 14. Apostle Paul says, "Notwithstanding, you have done well that you did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for an opportunity to look into your word. And Lord, all scripture we know is profitable, it's inspired by you, and is profitable for equipping us to serve you better. And so we just ask that you'd use this portion of scripture as well to equip us to serve you in a greater way as we come upon another year, actually. And we just pray that you'll help us to serve you better in this coming year than we have ever before. And we'll be sure to give you the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, many pastor on Wednesday night, he's been bringing a series on money, and possessions, and eternity. And so far, nobody's thrown any books at him or anything, you know, while he's been preaching on that. You know, sometimes many people get upset when the pastor preaches about money. But sometimes it can be a real lifesaver, you know. It can be a real lifesaver. The story is told of two businessmen who were flying to a conference overseas. And the small plane they were in developed engine problems, and they had to crash land on a deserted island. And one of the men began to cry, stating that he will never get to see his kids grow up. He said, "I'll never get to see my kids grow up. I'll never be able to tell my wife again how much I love her." He was really upset. The other man, he simply leaned against a palm tree and he fell asleep. Well, the other guy, he simply he couldn't stand that. So he went over and woke him up, and he confronted him, and he said, "How can you sleep? Don't you care that we are going to die on this island?" And his calm companion said this. He said, "I'm not worried at all." He said, "I make $500,000 a year, and I always faithfully give 10% to my church, and I know my pastor will find me." No problem. Well, that was a story, of course, but it's true. It's a true story that J.L. Kraft, who was the founder of the Kraft Cheese Corporation, he had given approximately all of his life, he'd given approximately 25% of his enormous income to Christian causes for many years. And he said this one time when somebody asked him about it. He said, "The only investment I ever made which has paid consistently increasing dividends is the money I have given to the Lord." That's a good saying. And the Bible speaks very plainly about money, because our hearts and our wallets are tightly bound up together. You wouldn't think that, would you? I mean, my wallet's down here, my heart's up here, but they're pretty tightly bound together. And God is after our hearts, you know. He's after our hearts, and he doesn't really have our hearts unless he has our wallets as well. You say, "Well, you're just making that up, Pastor." Well, let's see what the Lord says. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. Just keep your finger in here for a minute. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. The Lord says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Well, he could reverse that too, vice versa. Where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Could have said that too. You and I may shout from the housetops of our love for the Lord, but if we're not giving, we're really not loving. I mean, we can say, "Oh, Lord, I love you." We say, "Oh, how I love Jesus." We can sing all of those things. But if we're not giving, we're not loving. Matter of fact, found an anonymous quote. I think I put it in your notes there. So you can give without loving. You can. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Didn't the Father prove that? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. An investment in God's work and in God's workers is the only way we can assure that we'll reap eternal dividends. Jim Elliot, you remember the fellow that one of those five missionaries that were killed by the Aka Indians? I used to say just recently, because that was 40 years ago I was saying that, but now it's been a long time. Jim Elliot said this. He was just a young fellow. He had a lot of good sayings, but this is one of them. He said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He's no fool. Someone has called Peter's letter to the Philippians here a thank you note, a big thank you note. Because one of the main purposes for which the Holy Spirit inspired him to write it was to express his love and his appreciation for sending Epaphroditus to Rome to search him out, to minister to him in whatever way he could, and to deliver, of all things, a love offering they had taken up to give to him. And the last time he acknowledged receipt of their support, and in doing so, he gave us three conditions for contentment. Do you remember those? Three conditions for contentment. Number one, rejoicing in his Savior. Rejoicing in his Savior, realizing that Christ in his sovereignty was the one who had given the church the opportunity to send him some support after a period of 10 years. Been 10 years since they had had the opportunity. He said, you have lacked opportunity, but now you're fulfilling your responsibility once again. Another condition for contentment we saw was resting in his situation. By being willing to get along with what the Lord provided, whether it was much or whether it was little. He says, I've learned to be abased and I've learned to abound. And then the other condition for contentment was recognizing the fact that his strength to do anything lay not in himself, but only in Christ. Remember Philippians 4:13, the one we have memorized? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He recognized where his strength came from. Now in these verses, Paul still refers to the offering they had sent, but not as a benefit to him, though it certainly was that, but rather regarding how that offering would be an eternal benefit for them, as it was an investment that would yield eternal dividends. That's exactly what he's going to tell them in these verses. And I trust that we'll learn the importance of laying up treasures in heaven as we make investments that will result in fruit that will abound to our account as well. We have an opportunity to do that again next week, right? Christmas missions offering. Christmas missions offering. It's interesting that Paul uses this church. It's interesting, isn't it? He uses this church at Philippi, which was among the churches of Macedonia. Remember over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2? This was one of those churches of Macedonia that were in deep poverty. And he uses this church to preach and teach us about God's investment plan in giving. God has quite a sense of humor, doesn't he? It's not really humorous, though. It's really pathetic, because many times we don't give. We're not in deep poverty. We don't give like we should. And so he's going to encourage these Philippians for doing that. He's going to say, not only was that for my benefit, it was also for your benefit. It's also for your benefit. So let's begin. Roman numeral 1, if you're filling in your outline. Roman numeral 1, a commendation for their investment. A commendation to them for their investment. Here in verses 14 to 16. Notice, first of all, his commendation for their investment. He said it was purposeful. This was a purposeful investment that they had made. Look there in verse 14. Notwithstanding, he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. So the word notwithstanding is a connecting word, of course, pointing us back to the previous verses. And in other words, Paul didn't want his teaching on contentment to be taken in the wrong way, as if he didn't appreciate the great love and the sacrifice the Philippians had shown by sending their offering. He didn't want to give them that idea that he didn't appreciate it. He acknowledged that the purpose for which they had sent it had been accomplished. They had communicated with his affliction. And thus they had done well. Did you notice that? They'd done well. They had communicated with his affliction. The Greek word translated communicate with here is also translated be partaker of in other places and have fellowship in other places in the scriptures. In other words, the purpose of their love offering had been achieved because with it they had shared with him in his affliction, they'd shared with him in his pain and in his trouble and in his persecution. And he said, well done. Well done. He was in a really bad situation, was he not? He was up there in Rome in prison, chained to a guard. So he said, you did well when you shared with me, when you partnered up along with me, when you joined me in a partnership by your giving so generously. And that's exactly the purpose for which they had sent it. They wanted to help Paul. So it was a purposeful gift here. When we send our offerings to our missionaries, we have done well, you know. We have done well. Because we are partnering with them and helping them to meet the problems and needs that they have on their field of service. Done well. We're making a purposeful investment. But it doesn't stop there. It was pioneering. It was also pioneering. Do you notice that in verse 15? He says, it says in verse 15, we'll read the whole verse and we'll go back. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Let's break that verse down just a little bit. Number one, it was pioneering as to when it took place. As to when it took place. He says, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel. Now, Paul will remind them of something they already know. Something that was embodied in their memories, embedded in their memories. Another positive element of the purpose of this offering is seen in the fact that they could be sure that it would be used in some way for the spreading of the gospel. They could see it was going to be used some way for the spreading of the gospel. Remember, this was the main reason Paul gave thanks for this church to begin with. Look back with me. I've got chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, but I want you to look at chapter 1 and verses 3, 4, and 5. Chapter 1, verse 3, 4, and 5. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all making requests with joy. Why? For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Fellowship in the gospel. From the first day, from the beginning of the gospel in Europe, they shared with him that pioneering work in Macedonia. And from the time he and his fellow laborers had met with the Jewish ladies by the riverside, you remember, where Lydia got saved? And the demon-possessed maiden got saved. And later on, the Philippian jailer got saved. And from that beginning of the gospel, they had been partnering with him in spreading the gospel. Some 10 years before this, but they were partnering with him. They hadn't had an opportunity during that 10 years, but now they were helping him again in Rome. So, as to the place, it was pioneering. As to who participated, notice in the second part of verse 15, you Philippians know also the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Actually, that's kind of sad, isn't it? When you think about all the churches that Paul started. Sad to say, all of the places he had been on his first missionary journey, the churches that he had started on that journey, none had gotten involved in this pioneering work in Europe except his beloved church at Philippi. He only. The word communicated, again, is referring to their sharing of their substance with him, not talking, you know, not a conversation. Notice, giving and receiving, their business terms. Giving and receiving. It had been 10 years, but Paul kept good records. He remembered. And when he filled out his financial report, I don't know whether he had one or not, but let's say he had a financial report. He had one entry in the giving column. You know what it was? Philippi. Heritage Baptist Church of Philippi. I put that in there, of course. And one entry in the receiving column. Missionary Paul. Missionary Paul. No other church had taken the opportunity to partner with Paul. Others had joined in the offering for the poor saints in Jerusalem that he was collecting, but so had the Philippians. They joined in that one too. Because Paul used them to encourage the Corinthians to give that particular offering. But somehow, in spite of their, remember, their, in spite of their deep poverty, they were able to help Paul not only with that offering, be an example for that, they were able to go above that and help him in his ministry. That's something. By the way, there is another, with a capital A, who is keeping records of our giving and receiving. And he's the one we must answer to someday. Those Pharisees and the widow found that out. Remember? When Christ was in the treasury and he saw all those rich folks going by and throwing all that money in there, and that widow came by and threw in the two mites. And you know what he said? He had the audacity to say she's given more than they all. She was in deep poverty. She gave more than they all. I think it's going to be really surprising when we get to heaven someday concerning our giving and our receiving. C. It was pioneering. What did I say the first thing? Purposeful. Yeah. It was pioneering. Guess what? This one's got a P too. Verse 16. It was persistent. It was persistent. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once, would have been good, and again unto my necessity. Unto my necessity. They had given when he departed from Macedonia. Did you notice that? And he went on into Greece and he preached and the gospel in Corinth and in Athens, and they had given then. In fact, he scolded those in the church at Corinth because of their attitude, and he accusing him of being in the ministry to get their money. The Corinthians said, oh, Paul's just in it to get their money. Look at it, just a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. Some folks think that that's why everybody's... You know, there are enough people in the ministry to get money nowadays anyhow, you know. But some people figure that's true of everybody, and therefore they use that excuse not to give. That's not an excuse, you see. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. Paul said to those Corinthians, when I was present with you, and wanted, I had a lack, I had a need, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from where? Macedonia. They supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. Even before he went into Greece and so on. Even before that, they had given offerings to him before he even left Macedonia. When Paul left Philippi, he went to, if you've been keeping track there, and Pastor goes through the book of Acts, after he left Philippi, where did he go? Thessalonica. Then after that, he went to Berea. And so, he went to Thessalonica, and Paul reminds them that they had partnered with him when he preached the gospel there, more than once. We don't know how many times, but it was more than once. And he spent hardly any time there at all. Remember, we said that he was there, that we know of, for three Sabbath days. But they helped him more than once. And the last named city he ministered in Macedonia was Berea. And so that poverty-stricken Philippian church didn't send a one-time love offering to Paul as he continued on to preach the gospel, but they helped him persistently, once and again. And they were liberal in their giving of their substance. You know why they were liberal in the giving of their substance? Because they were liberal in the giving of their selves. I know that's not good English, but that's what happened. They gave of themselves. Remember, that's what he said over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, of those churches in Macedonia. They first gave of themselves to the Lord. Now, Roman numeral 2, the consequence of their investment, is in verse 17. The consequence of it. Notice, first of all, he begins with the human consequence. First part of verse 17. The human consequence. It says, not because I desire a gift. Not because I desire a gift. Paul received a gift. He didn't require it or desire it, but he greatly appreciated it because it would help him spread the gospel in Rome. That's why he was appreciated of it. Appreciative of it. Look at a few verses here with me. Acts chapter 19. And verse 21. Acts chapter 19, verse 21. Because he wanted to go to Rome, right? Acts chapter 19 and verse 21. And this gift that they gave helped him along that way. 19:21, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. Continuing on, Acts chapter 23 and verse 11. 23:11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Now, Paul thought about going as a preacher, but he finally went as a what? A prisoner. But he went to Rome. Because in Romans, look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. He says to those Romans, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And the Macedonians had a part in that, that human consequence. God really doesn't drop, at least I've never had any. Maybe you've had pennies drop from heaven. Have you had any money drop from heaven? There used to be an old song back in the States called Pennies from Heaven. Nobody knows that, huh? Well, it's false. Pennies don't come out of heaven, anyhow. Pennies from heaven. Now, with inflation, anyhow, it wouldn't be pennies anymore. It would be $100 bills, right? He'd have to drop out of there. He uses human instrumentality, is the point. He uses human instrumentality to supply the material needs of his work and his workers. Good verse. I don't have it in here, but you can write it in if you want to. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you, I forget all the filled up and overflowing and all that, shall men give unto your bosom. Human instrumentality. Though he had learned to be content in any situation, he's already said that, though he had learned to be content, he appreciated the fact that those Philippian believers expressed their love by sending him a gift, and he received it joyfully to be used for the furtherance of the gospel among the Romans. He's already mentioned that too, back in Philippians chapter 1. Not to the Romans, but the furtherance of the gospel. Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. He said, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. All that, the shipwreck, the Roman imprisonment, all of that. He says, fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that My bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places here in Rome. They're getting to hear the gospel in the palace amongst the palace guard and other places as well. The heavenly consequence. First one was the human consequence of their investment. Second is the heavenly consequence. Look at the last part of verse 17. Not because I desire a gift. It was a gift. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now here he's gone from the earthly to the heavenly. He's gone from the human to the heavenly account, you see. Here's the ultimate reason for his rejoicing. Remember back there in verse 10, the start of this whole paragraph? Verse 10 he said, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Now, here's the ultimate reason for his rejoicing. It wasn't that he wanted the material benefit in his account. It was that he wanted the spiritual benefit in their account. And that was how Paul lived, almost totally preoccupied with the well-being of others. His whole letter had been full of concern, not for himself, but for them. He wanted them to have harmony and humility. You remember that? If you don't, you can go back and read Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, actually. I've got the wrong verse here. Philippians 1, 27, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. He wanted them to have harmony and humility. He was willing to be the sacrificial drink offering that would be the top-up of their principal sacrifice and service of faith. You remember in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 17. Look at that one in just a moment. Refresh our memories. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. He encouraged them to follow him so that they wouldn't be led away by the enemies of the cross. It was always about them. Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. He says, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you often weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Again, he had their well-being foremost in his mind. Now he's rejoicing in their gift. Not because he will profit from it materially, but because they will profit from it spiritually. It's what Jesus called treasure in heaven, isn't it? Treasure in heaven. Treasure that goes into our spiritual account. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Pastor has covered most of these things in his messages on Wednesday night. And this is a little refresher course. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. That's pretty plain. Where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where interest breaks through and steals. I just put that in there. That's usually what happens, you know. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Lay it up in heaven. Well, here was a man who was content. He was content because he wasn't concerned about enriching himself materially. Rather, he was deeply concerned with enriching others spiritually. And if we're continually thinking about others instead of ourselves, it will enrich us as well. It'll enrich us. Question. Do you rejoice more in the blessing that comes to you? I'm sorry. Do you rejoice more in the blessings that come to others or the blessings that come to you? Are you content to be without as long as someone else is blessed? Boy, isn't that hard? See somebody else getting blessed and you're not, quote, blessed, you know. Paul said that's what brought him joy. He said, you know what brings me joy is not when I'm blessed, but when you're blessed, you Philippians. And if the Bible is true, is the Bible true? Boy, that was pretty peaked. Is the Bible true? Sure it is. Yeah, it is. If the Bible's true, this is the investment plan that will bring joy to you and me as believers too. This is the investment plan that will bring joy to you and me. John MacArthur said this. I quote him once in a while. He's got some things I don't believe, but he's got some pretty good sayings sometimes. And this is one of them. He said, the principle throughout Scripture is this, that what you sacrificially give becomes treasure in heaven, and God, in response to that, will give in return. It's not why we do it. That's just His response when we're willing to give. Look at a lot of things here to prove that point. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. We'll start in the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. First word there is, there is that scattereth, and yet increaseth. That's weird, isn't it? And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, more than is proper, more than is fitting, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat. I was talking about a soul there. I mean, I always claimed that verse for my own until I realized it said soul. Yeah. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Saying the same thing Paul was saying to these Philippians. Look at chapter 19, Proverbs 19, verse 17. Proverbs 19, 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Boy, do I need these things. I'm just hitting myself all over the place this afternoon here. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, already read that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. This I say, Paul said to those Corinthians, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. All of these things just prove that principle. The principle throughout Scripture, John MacArthur said, is this, that what you sacrificially give becomes treasure in heaven, and God, in response to that, will give in return. Well, God's investment plan may not enable us to accrue much of this world's goods, right? God's investment plan may not allow us to accrue a lot of goods, but then this world's goods are only temporary anyhow, right? I mean, we can accumulate all we want to, but they're still just temporary. God's investment plan enables us to send contributions on ahead that will reap spiritual dividends for all eternity. And if men could see all your financial accounts, and my financial accounts, let me put myself in there too, including our record of giving to the Lord's work, where would they think our heart is? If they could see those things. Even more important, than men, even more important, those accounts and records are already an open book to the Lord. So where does He know our heart is? Where does He know our heart is? You know what else? Not only knows where our heart is, He also knows where our faith is. He also knows where our faith is. I heard of a man who was struggling with the idea of giving a tithe. Tithe, by the way, in case you didn't know, that's 10%. I've heard people say, well, I tithe 1% of my income. No, I'm sorry. You're only tithing your tithe. You're only giving 1%. Anyhow, he was struggling with the idea of giving a tenth of his income to his church, and he told his pastor that he didn't see how he could do it and keep up with his bills. The pastor said, well, tell you what, if I promise to make up the difference in your bills if you should fall short, do you think you could try tithing for just 1 month? I'll make up the difference. You just try tithing for 1 month. After thinking about it for a minute, the man replied, "Sure, sure. If you promise to make up my shortage, I guess I could try tithing for 1 month." And the pastor responded, "Now that's really something." You know something's coming now, right? The pastor says, "Now that's really something. You know something's coming." He said, "You're willing to put your trust in a mere man like myself, who possesses so little materially, but you couldn't trust your heavenly Father who owns the whole universe." He made a good point, didn't he? Good point. You know, the Lord keeps the books, and will never fail. He'll never fail to pay one spiritual dividend. He never will. So the question this afternoon is, where is your heart? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Where's your heart? Our Father, we just thank you for...